Listener-supported KFUO invites you to listen live to our annual Share-a-thon. It's your opportunity to show your support to KFUO. If you can't join us live, please prayerfully consider supporting us by calling 314-996-1518 and asking about our giving levels. You can also click the Give Now button on our webpage. Share-a-thon 2017, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Time for a little worldview watch. Learn to discern what's going on out in the world around you by bringing your faith to bear on what you see and remembering why you believe what you believe and how much it impacts how you should be amongst what you see. Today, help us doing that, Pastor Jeff Hemmer, the KFUO Church of the Week pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to talk about his new book. We mentioned it just the other day, Man Up, from Concordia Publishing House, a guide on how to be a man by remembering the man, the new man, who has redeemed fallen man from our weakness, our cowardice, our desire to flee from ourselves, really, in order to flee from God, and, well, what Jesus having redeemed us means for us and perhaps frees us to be, particularly with regard to our original duty, but also with regard to the life of the world to come. All that and more with Pastor Jeff Hemmer. Welcome to the show, Pastor Hemmer.
Good morning. Good to be back with you. Feels like just 2 days ago.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us a little bit about the genesis of this book. You mentioned a couple days ago that you wrote this as an exploration on your own. What made that happen?
Yeah, well, I became fascinated with the secular awareness that masculinity and femininity were not the same. And so kind of striking when those outside the church discover these kinds of realities that we in the church are kind of trying to, you know, sweep under the rug or downplay or hide a little bit. Some things that embarrass us. You know, it's kind of like the liturgy. And when folks outside liturgical-minded churches start to rediscover the liturgy, You know, Lutherans were always kind of still embarrassed about it and tripping over ourselves to apologize for how awkward the liturgy is. And then these folks who've never had the liturgy are kind of rediscovering it. So the same is true of masculinity. I was struck with, when I heard about sites like Art of Manliness,
yep,
which is run by a great guy, Brett McKay, it inclines toward being a man of faith and exhorting mm-hmm. men toward being of faith. But it's not a Christian website. Brett is actually himself a Mormon, so neither here nor there. But it's just a secular take on masculinity. And then there's all kinds of other people writing on masculinity. There's a guy, Jack Donovan, who writes very eruditely and profoundly, and he is an avowed atheist, but writes about how good and important masculinity is for the health of society. So I kind of, you know, I hear these things and I latch on them and I think, man, when did the church lose her voice
right
on these fundamental kinds of things, right? I mean, how far back does masculinity go? It goes all the way back to the garden. So I got interested in all these other people who are kind of giving us permission to speak about masculinity and femininity, men and women, and the different roles that they have, the God-given different talent sets that they have, and just kind of ran with it from there. So
very not mainstream yet, though.
The
masculine movement's a subculture. It's a subgenre of the mainstream, but it's really kind of quiet at the same time. So it's like this, it's good to have beards and shave your face, but don't be too loud about it, right? There's still a really dampened edge to it, if I can call it that.
Absolutely. I don't mean to suggest that, like, masculinity is, as a whole, on the upswing, but you're right. There is this kind of resistance movement in popular culture, sort of reclaiming what it means to be a man. And there's lots of things. There's sort of a mythopoeic men's movement that goes back to like the mid 80s, where you had a book like Iron John that talks about this young boy's quest to become a man. And then the church kind of latched onto those things in the like the late 90s. You had John Eldridge writing like Wild at Heart. You had the Promise Keepers movement.
Right.
So you always have these sort of flash in the pan interests about, you know, we've neglected masculinity. This egalitarianism has never served the church well. So every time it sort of erupts for a moment, there's a renewed interest in it. And so this became, I mean, it is for me like a personal growth, a struggle kind of thing, exploring, you know, what the Bible teaches about masculinity, what other cultures perceive masculinity to be, what this kind of resistance movement in American culture about masculinity says masculinity is. And so this kind of interest grew into a presentation at Higher Things. So one of their breakout sectionals was well attended, and I came home from it, and my wife said, "You put a lot of work into that. Is there some other outlet for
that?"
Yeah,
right. Like, make use of it.
Right. So I pitched the idea to CPH. I said, "You know, you had this ladylike book. Have you thought about doing the masculine complement to that? Because there's all this outside the church interest in it."
Right.
I'm sure there's interest inside the church. And they said, "Actually, we have. We're working on it. We got an author. It's all projects all set up. We'll let you know when it's out." Okay, thanks. It's kind of the end of that.
Huh.
And then a couple months later, I got an email and they said, "So we kind of need an author. Send us a writing sample." So did that. And about a year later,
yeah,
there's a book.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell you a little story, and I want you to respond to it. I came out of college a confirmed feminist. Secular college, was a Christian, came back into the faith in college, but came out a confirmed feminist, and it was trying to reconcile that with what the Bible says. And the way I did that was I got to the point where I believe that all of the language in the New Testament about man and woman in Christ, which is clearly an error if you're a true feminist,
sure,
if you're a true egalitarian, it's an error. It's patriarchy. It's sexism. I'd come to the conclusion that it was all there as an error in largely Paul's mind to teach us that we too can make errors by being trapped within our culture and not being able to see outside of our culture.
Well, that's good.
I thought it was pretty clever. And then, so I'm sharing this with my bride-to-be as we're courting, and she traps me. She says, "Aren't you just making that argument because you can't see outside your culture?" She took the very thing I was accusing Paul of.
Yep.
She flipped it on me. I mean, it was a judo move, right?
Yeah.
I was on the ground. And from that point on, I was like, I got to look at this stuff again and stop asking, how can it be wrong? And start asking, how can it be right?
Sure.
So I'm going to ask you another question. A couple weeks ago, I spoke at Washington University about man and woman in Christ.
Right.
And I mentioned offhandedly the good kind of patriarchy versus the bad kind of patriarchy. But I didn't really go into detail. And I had a woman who is not a Christian come up to me afterwards and say, "What's the good kind of patriarchy?" If someone were to ask you that question, what would you say?
What's a good kind of patriarchy? So there's, among the secular explorations of masculinity, there's a fascinating book by David Gilmore, who's a sociologist who's studied masculinity across cultures throughout the world. And Gilmore finds that almost invariably, masculinity in every culture is trusted for its ability to protect, provide, and procreate. So those would be the three things that I would say are good patriarchy. And what we depend on our men for. I mean, men are expendable. Biologically, in the reproductive act, a woman has potentially one egg. And at the beginning of her life, she has a fixed number of eggs, right? She is a fixed asset to be protected. Men make sperm and have millions compared with a woman's potentially one, though it may not be there, per reproductive act. So we've just always understood men to be expendable, and they're stronger, right? Their bodies produce testosterone for the purpose of building muscle, doing the heavy back-breaking work that women's bodies just are not built to do, right? They're built to do a very different kind of thing.
Right.
And that is to nurture life, to grow inside of them another human being, and then to provide food and sustenance for that. So a man then has to be able to let a woman do what she alone in the world can do, and that's be a mother. A man can never do that, no matter what you read on the front page of the, you know, the tabloids in the supermarket.
We just, again, about a minute and a half left here, though. At the heart of your argument, based on, was it a secularist who did this study across cultures?
Protect, provide, procreate.
Well, you have to believe that procreation is of value to the species, and we live in a culture that does not.
Exactly. And what's happening to us, right? We're all freaking out because nobody can afford Social Security anymore,
right.
which is a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
You got to have workers to be paying their into the Social Security so that all the but now we're going to have more retirees than we have workers. Well, I mean, even the secular world understands you got to have new life. You got to have children. And that's why the secular world has always been invested in protecting and rewarding marriage. And this is why same-sex marriage is just, it's ridiculous, because there's no same-sex marriage in the pipefitters union. You'll have all kinds of leaks, right?
Right.
You try to join two male pipes together. Good luck with that. So we understand that procreation is essential to the existence and the thriving of a society, and men are intrinsic to that. Women are too, but they play distinctly different roles.
In my experience, talking with people about procreation, it is the men of America who are the most resistant to believing it in the value of it. Women kind of get, I'd like some kids. They maybe don't want enough kids to make the society survive, but they want kids. It's men who now have lost the belief that my legacy, my name, means anything.
Because a child automatically rattles a man out of his selfish boyishness and calls him, it calls him to man up, right? The world is not about you anymore. It's about those people you are given to serve. I mean, he can kind of fake it in a marriage, but when there's a little helpless human being who depends on him to do those things, and these protect, provide, procreate, that's given to Adam in the garden, right? It should be no surprise that a sociologist like Gilmore discovers something that's scripturally given to Adam back in the garden. He fails at all of them, but then it's Christ who, in the union with his church, is perfectly procreative. He protects her selflessly, and he provides for her even with his own body, gives of himself to nourish and to sustain her, and gives her an innumerable, I guess not innumerable, because the Lord knows the number of his elect, but we can't count the number of the church's offspring. And so Jesus does all of those in spades, and so much more. The perfect icon of masculinity. You'll find nothing better than Jesus.
My guest, Pastor Jeff Hemmer, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. They are our KFUO Church of the Week. That means they're sponsoring us, making sure good radio like this gets out there to help you think about what you believe and why you believe it. And also talking about his new book, Man Up, from Concordia Publishing House, which I'll tell you right now, listener, at this point, I don't want to stop the conversation, but I have to because we're out of time. And so what do we got to do? Well, you got to go read the book. So thanks for being with us today, Pastor Hemmer.
My pleasure. Thanks for plugging the book.
And as he said, the real man up is the man up on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lifted up draws all men, and that means man and woman, all people, all the world, to himself for the sake of restoring us to our right relationship with the Father. I'll tell you what, universe, he has done it. Risen from the dead, ascended, reigning to all eternity, he's also coming back. It may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, but in either case, I'm Pastor Jonathan Fisk, this is His Time, and I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.